John chapter number 9, I'm preaching this message. It's a question, will you work? Will you work? As I began to think about this, I also was thinking about the year that we're living in. And as of noon today, it is now whatever time it is, I won't tell you, but as of noon today, we'll have 67 days and 12 hours left in 2020. What do I say? Why do I say that? This too shall come to pass. No, I'm thinking of time, right? I'm thinking of time. How much time do we have? You know, we might think, yep, we've got 67 days and 12 hours, and then we'll be in 2021. But you know what? You and I don't even know if we're going to make it to 2021. Don't plan your life so far out, and I'm guilty of that. I think it's good to be doing things and planning, but how much time do we have left until the Lord returns in the clouds? Possibly not till the end of this year. He may come tomorrow. Are you ready for Him to come? Jesus may come today. Glad day, glad day. And I would see my friend. Dangers and troubles would end. At least for the believer, they would end. Jesus would come today. When He comes in the clouds, the Bible says that we will be caught up together with Him, those of us that are born again believers, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? This thought, though, that we have in John's Gospel chapter number 9, I believe it helps us to begin to consider, I'm sure you already have, though, but a reminder that life is brief. You know, even the Lord Jesus Christ's life was brief. His physical life would have an end. Yes, He truly, and notice I said His physical life, because the Lord Jesus has had no beginning in His Godhead, if you will, but in His taking on the form of a man and humbling Himself, there would be an end. There would be an end. He would live some 33 years, and it would come to an end, and yet He says here that He must work. Jesus said that the works of or that while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. In other words, there would come an end to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the physical sense. He would give up His life. He would be crucified. He would die, and that would come to an end. The miracles of Him in person and all of that, they would continue, yes. But even His message, even His earthly ministry had a time limit. And I'd like to challenge us from this text and others that we'll look at about this question, will you work? Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. And we need the Holy Spirit of God filling right now as listener and speaker for sure. Whether we're in this room or we're online, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to make application to what You have for us. And whether it's written down on the paper of my notes or not, I pray that You'd give me the message right now that You'd have me to preach. And Father, we thank You for this verse of Scripture and the surrounding event that's taken place. And may we answer that question with the affirmative, yes, I will work for Jesus. In His name we ask it. Amen. Amen. The first thing I'd like to point out to you is this. There is a work assigned to us by God. There is a work assigned to us by God. We learn that in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I want you to also turn over to John's Gospel chapter number 14. There is a work assigned to us by God. John 14 and verse number 12. John 14 and verse number 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me. You know who's speaking here? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Whosoever believeth on Me. Notice what He says. The works that I do, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's us. That's you. That's me. Shall he do also. Notice, and what's the next two words? Greater works. I'd circle those words. Greater works. Than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You are alive right now. That's a news flash. You're breathing, all right? You're walking. And if you're saved, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I believe Jesus Christ's words back in John 14 and God's word as well, Jesus' words back in John 9 give us the truth. We have been assigned a work to do. As believers, as Christians, we are never retiring. All right, we've had someone in recent days, she's here with us this morning, we've had someone in recent days retire from their job, spending over 35 years at one job. Praise the Lord, that's exciting, that's wonderful. And maybe some of you you're counting down those days now that I've said that, and you have your chart for retirement, and some of you maybe already have retired. I'm not saying that we don't retire from our secular work. Many have done that, and many will do that. But let me say to you that as a believer, we are never retired from the work that God has called us to do. We never will hang up our pin, if you will, or we'll never hang up whatever it may be, and that's it. I'm no longer going to work for the master. We've all have an assignment to do. We are called to do a work. I would submit to you this, that when we do the work of the Lord, it is just like the food that we need every day for our body. When we have food, you know what it does? It gives us energy. Without the right amounts of food, protein and vegetables and fruit and all that there is involved in the food there, that it gives our body energy. And if you're not eating properly, you're not going to have the right amount of energy. If sometimes we fast for spiritual reasons, praise the Lord, or if we fast for medical reasons, oh, we get weak, we get tired. Why? Because we don't have any energy. I'd like to say today that I believe that living for the Lord, serving the Lord, working for God is the energy that your soul needs. It's the energy that my soul needs. I believe the reason why there are many people today in churches just like Acre Baptist Church, I don't know if it's you, sometimes it's probably me, that are lethargic, it's because they're not doing the work. They're not doing the work that has been assigned for them to do. Look, if you're saved today, you do not get saved. God did not save you simply to just come to church and go home and come to church and go home and go through that routine every day. No, every Sunday and every day. No, God saved us to do something for Him. I think that's exciting. I've been assigned a work to do. Now, you know what? It's not all the same, though. The work God has assigned you to do may not be the same for me and the same for others over here and everyone. But I will say, God has assigned us a work to do. There is a work assigned to you, to me, by God. The work of God, when we are involved in it, it fortifies us. It gives us energy to continue on. I'm talking about spiritual energy to continue on. When temptation comes, if we've been living for God and serving God and obedient to God, I believe we have a greater possibility, I don't know if that's the right word, but a stamina, if you will, to withstand that temptation. Why? Because we've been in the Word. We've been sharing the Word. We are fortified. We are energized because we are serving the Lord. He has a work for all to do. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. I'd like to encourage you to put that verse to memory this week. John 9:4. If you haven't already, write it out. Put it on a 3x5 card and work on it. I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night cometh, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 5 and verse number 30. The Bible says there, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Notice, I can of mine own self do nothing. And Jesus came not to do the will of Jesus. It's kind of hard really to fathom this. But Jesus came, even though Jesus is God, Jesus laid down His sonship and put on the robe of flesh with one purpose in mind, and that was this, to do the will of the Father. That was His work. What I'm saying is that even Jesus was given an assignment. He was assigned a work to follow the will of His Father. All the while that Jesus was alive, all the while that Jesus was walking through the towns and villages and doing miracles and all of that, that was all just, I guess, if you will, bonus. But the will of the Father was the cross. The will of the Father was to die for the sins of the world, to die for Canadian sins like mine and like yours, and people in British Columbia and like people in Quebec and people in the Middle East and people in Germany. And we're emphasizing these particular areas this week. No, the will of the Father was that Jesus would go to the cross. And Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Even the Lord Jesus in his earthly time was assigned a work to do. Turn over to John 6, please. John chapter 6, verse number 38. We'll read verse 37 and 38. This kind of emphasizes what I'm saying here this morning about the Lord's assignment. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's a very helpful verse right there for assurance of salvation. "He that cometh to me," have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you confessed your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you cannot save yourself and that he is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus is saying, "All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast them out. I will not push them away. Oh, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I will in no wise cast them out." You might be here this morning and you might think everything is all right, but yet you have an eternal destiny with death. Someday you will die. Someday you will pass away. Someday you will not get up that morning and think, "Today's the day." Most people don't have that. Some people get very sick, yes, and they might be laying in a bed, and their nurses might say, "Well, you might have 24 to 48 hours. I'm not trying to be morbid or anything like that. But for the most part, we don't get up the morning of our death and realize today's the day. But it comes. "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." But then in verse 28, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven," here it is, "not to do mine own will." I didn't leave heaven to do what I wanted to do, Jesus said, "but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have" what? You see it there? Everlasting life. You know that the Coates family, they're going to Quebec with a message just like Jesus said here in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, and verse number 48. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to the Lamb of God. He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. That's the message that they want to take. That's the message somebody gave them. That's the message we've been preaching at Anchor Baptist Church now for 19 and a half years. And to God be all the glory. It was the will of the Father. It was the assignment that Jesus was given. But I submit to you today, there is a work assigned to you by God. Why am I here? Why do I exist? You exist to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why did God save me? Because he has a work for you to do. He has a job for you. He has a harvest field for you to be a part of. John 17, please, if you would. John 17. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to John 6:38 if you're still there. John 6:38. Notice there's a negative denial. A negative denial. "For I came down from heaven not to do." Not to do. But then notice the positive assertion. "But the will of him." But the will of him. I came not to do something, but I came to do something. The will of him that sent me. Oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ fulfilled the work that he was called to do. And we have a work that is assigned to us by God. John 17. John 17. This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Prayer is excellent resource. And I believe that they are learning about the Lord's Prayer in the Sunday school class right now. By the way, there's a lesson online today for all the children. It should be up and ready to go. I think we verified that last night. And I believe that's what they're going through right now. Anchoredinjesus.com. And then there's a children's page for that. That's a model prayer. And yes, it's a prayer to follow to teach us maybe how to pray, but Jesus did not pray the Lord's Prayer. If you want to read a prayer that Jesus prayed, it's right here in John chapter 17. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed because, see, Jesus doesn't have to pray about being forgiven because Jesus was not a sinner. He never sinned one time. He didn't have to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and so forth. But in John 17, look at verse number 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Notice, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I submit to you, you're alive, I'm alive right now. We have not finished the work that he's given us to do yet. I love what they sang just a moment ago. I love both those songs, People Need the Lord. Excellent. Praise the Lord. I haven't heard that one in a while. Great job. Praise the Lord. I've always loved that song. But then may we be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what they were singing about just a little bit ago. Oh, I tell you today, I'm so thankful that God has kept us alive to this point. Why? There's a work that he's given us to do. That's what Jesus said. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Our highest purpose for existence is to glorify God. Do you see it there? I have glorified thee. I have glorified thee. Are you glorifying God? Am I glorifying God? Am I faithful to the Lord? Am I faithful to the work that he's given me to do? There is a work assigned to us by God. Let's go one more page over to the cross, John 19. John 19. John 19, verse number 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. What was finished? The work that was assigned to him by his Father. Oh, that great work that was assigned to him by his Father is the reason we have a church today. That great work that was assigned to him by his Father is the reason I have peace that passeth all understanding today. The work that was assigned to him by his Father is the reason that we have a booklet today filled with families, these three precious families that are with us this year, and then all of our missionary team, all through this booklet. The reason he finished the work, it's the reason how we have these individuals, some single people, some families, some couples that are around the world, and they are taking that message. You see, that's the hope that the world has. The world's hope is not necessarily in a vaccination. You know that, right? Because you can get a vaccination and die and go to hell. If you don't get Jesus, I don't care how many vaccinations you've had, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. You see, the world may need it. There may be people that need some health needs and health. I'm not saying we don't need health help. Sure we do. But way more important than that, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, it is finished, it made it possible that we could be a part of the work too. It made it possible that we could be joint heirs with him and that we could be co-laborers together with God. You see, there is a work assigned for all of us to do. As we go back to John's Gospel, chapter number 9, notice that word must in verse number 4. Jesus said, I must. I must. What is that emphasizing? It's emphasizing that it is of great necessity. It's a necessity that he work. In other words, if I don't, there's no other option. If there's no cross, folks, we don't have a Savior. If there's no empty tomb, we don't have victory in Jesus. I must do the work that God has called me to do. I must do the work of the Father. I must go to Calvary. I must go to the tomb. I must give my life. I must lay down my life. I must. And that is the same attitude I should have in the work that God has given me to do. I must do it. I must be involved in it. It's a necessity. There's no other option. May we not allow the fear of the enemy to distract us from the work that has been assigned to us by God. Jesus said, greater works shall ye do? Number two, there is a window of opportunity to do the work. You see this phrase right here? Right here? While it is what? Day. There is a window of opportunity to do the work. I repeat, Jesus' earthly ministry, even the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry, had a time limit. It had a time limit. I turned 47 this past June. 3 more years till the big 5-0, if I'm still alive. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Point is, right now, for me, it's still day. It's still day. I'm still living. God has a window of opportunity for me. And I'm making it personal right now. And God has really been working on my heart. Even on the drive to church this morning, as the sun was getting over it had already come up, but it was just coming over the tree line. I was driving down Lowheed Highway, and I could feel the sun beaming into the back window and helping get the frost off, you know. And I was just really listening to a church service that was ongoing, and some singing was happening. And, you know, God was stirring me, and God was reminding me that I have a window of opportunity to do the work that God has assigned for me. And when that window closes, the night comes, my opportunities are over. Lately, I've been posting and sharing some things on my Facebook page from Shelley Hamilton. Shelley Hamilton. If you know, we've been praying for several years for her husband, Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton, to me, many years ago, when I was a child, I'm talking a child, he was Patch the Pirate. Patch the Pirate. He had cancer in one of his eyes, and his eyeball had to be removed, and they had to put a fake eyeball in there, and then a patch went on, and he all of a sudden became Patch the Pirate. I think that was, oh my goodness, late 70s, I think, is when that surgery took place. I would have been like 5 or 6 years old, 40 years ago. Might be off a little bit on that, but I think it's pretty close. And as I've been reading what she's been writing in recent days, he has outlived the amount of time that normally someone lives who has that particular procedure done. And God gifted him with the most amazing ability to write songs. I'm sure there's others that are great songwriters, but God also allowed him to have dementia. It came on about when he was 60 years of age. They begin to notice some things. And I think he's now 67, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around in there. And but around 60 years of age, they begin to notice it, and it began to affect him. And slowly but surely, it did a lot of damage in the sense of not being able to function, not being able to drive. I think she wrote in recent days and so forth. And now at 67 years of age, he has the mental capacity of about a 7 to 8 year old boy. It's kind of sad when you watch it, but also you know what it's doing for me. It's encouraging me that even though he's still alive, he took the window of the work of opportunity that God gave him, and he put everything. He's not perfect, but he put everything he could into that window of opportunity. And I mean, going through tragedy, a son that committed suicide, by the way, is in there too. An adult son, full time living and working for God, and that. I'm just saying, we all have a window of opportunity. And now, Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate, his wife's been posting videos of him singing with her, and I'm glad they're doing that. And such a joy. And thankfully, the dementia for him is just causing him to laugh at everything, because it could be a lot worse, as some of you probably know and have experience with that. And I'm not saying his window of opportunity is completely closed, but he's probably not going to write any more songs at this stage of life. But he used the window of opportunity that God gave him, just like our songwriter did on our hymn this morning, bringing in the sheaves. And here we are singing it decades later. I want to use the window of opportunity, and I want to be urgent about it. Because I don't know when I'm going to wake up with something one day. You don't know when you're going to wake up with something. You don't know when you're not going to wake up one day. Again, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just trying to say, I fear that in these days, in 2020 especially, that the devil has done a great job of distracting us from the work that God has called us to do. And it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the assistant pastor. It's for every one of us who name the name of Christ. There is a work that God has called us to do. And right now, it is day. We must be about the master's business. It is urgent. You don't know when night is going to come. I don't know when night is going to come. We must work the works. And it's exciting to work for the Lord. It's energizing to work for the Lord. When you're working for God, He just gives you that energy that no other energy drink, monster drink, or whatever thing can give you. I love my caffeinated coffee. I don't drink monsters anymore. I'm too old for those things. But I like my coffee, but it's not coffee. It's getting on Jesus, and He gives you that energy that you need. I must work the works. Look at John 7, please. John 7. Again, I don't mean to say that I fear anything. I don't want to fear anything but God. I'm greatly concerned, though. Hey, sitting on your couch. I'm talking to you right now, too. I'm concerned that you're comfortable. I'm concerned that we're comfortable. I'm concerned that the urgency of the work has been gobbled up by COVID. Can I just say it? You may not like it. Sorry if you don't like it. I'm not apologizing and I'm not backing up. This thing is taking away the urgency of the work of God in many Christians. Living in fear, living in worry and all of it. No, it's time that we, with the Lord Jesus Christ, say, I've got life, I've got day. Yes, do be careful. Yes, wash your hands. Yes, all that stuff. But stop making that as an excuse for not being urgent in the work of the Lord. John 7, verse 6. The Bible says, Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is already ready. Look at verse 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. Why? His window was still open. His window was still open. That's why he walked and preached those 3 years and did all that he did. No one could touch him. Why? Because there was an appointment on time. The cross. Look at John 12. John 12. And look at verse number 23. The Bible says, And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I'd underline those words, this cause came I unto this hour. This cause, this hour, Father, glorify thy name. The window, Jesus said, for this cause, for this hour, for this purpose, was I brought into this world. John 17. Back to the high priestly prayer. These words, verse 1, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. And said, glorify thy Son. Why? That thy Son also may glorify thee. Urgency. The hour has come. When is your hour going to come? I don't know. When is my hour going to come? I don't know. You know, when you read the gospel according to Mark, we studied the book of Mark several years ago. The key word, one of the key words in the gospel according to Mark is immediately. Immediately. It's all throughout the gospel according to Mark. Jesus Christ was well aware of the time he had. Again, he was God, right, in the flesh. He knew he had a time limit, right? And so he had to work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Immediately. Urgency. I must. Time is now to move forward. I'm so grateful to what the Lord for what the Lord has done in my life in 2020. I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in the life of Anchor Baptist Church in 2020. I'm so grateful that we made our goal and we've gone over our goal of Faith Promise Missions. Praise the Lord. But we have another opportunity. We must work the works. We must give our offering. We must give our missions giving. We must tithe all of it. We must be a witness for Christ. We must invite people to the live stream, invite people to church. And all of this, the time is now to move forward as a Christian soldier. Isn't that what the song says? What's the first word of the chorus? Onward, not backward. Backward Christian soldier. No. You know, retreating from the war. I don't think that's what it says. But I have a feeling that's where we are sometimes. My hand's up. By the way, my hand's up in 2020. I've been distracted during this 7-month mess. I've been there. And we're supposed to be onward, Christian soldier, right? Marching as to war. Why? Because Jesus is leading the way. He's the captain of our team. He's our general. He knows where the landmines are. Follow the Master. Follow the Savior. The time is now to surrender to the will of the Lord. Now. Time is now to be sold out, advancing for the kingdom of God. Seize every moment. The window of opportunity. We have no idea, but the window of opportunity does come to an end. You have a window of opportunity to be a dad to your children, sir. You have a window of opportunity to be a dad. By the way, you have a window of opportunity to be a wife or a husband to your spouse. You have a window of opportunity to be a godly example. You have a window of opportunity to be a witness. We have a window of opportunity to live for the King of Kings. By the way, I'm so glad that for all eternity there will be no window. It'll be for all eternity. We'll have all eternity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we have an opportunity now to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, we'll serve Him there too, but the time is now. Seize every moment. Seize every opportunity. I must. And then, we've kind of been talking about it, but number three, the window eventually closes. The window eventually closes. The night cometh. The night cometh. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry would end, and it did. Again, I'm not saying he is evermore. I'm just saying his earthly ministry had an ending. Our time on this earth will end. And then what? Jonathan Edwards said this, we would treasure time more if we knew when it would run out. Do we know when our time is going to run out? No, we don't have that ability. But Jonathan Edwards is so true there that we would do more with our time. The window will close. I want to give you four things in closing as we go back to our text, John 9, about working in His work. Working in His work. There is a work that we've all been given. Number one, there is a window of opportunity to do the work. But eventually the window closes. The night comes. So I want to leave you with this thought. It's kind of a, I don't know what you call it. It's part two, I guess. Working in His work. Number one, we must go where the people are. Look at John 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by. Notice verse 59 of John 8. Look at verse 59 of John 8. Then took they up stones to cast at Him. And remember, there's no chapter divisions in the Bible when it was written. They added them in, and I think they're good, but sometimes we miss something. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So here is Jesus leaving a group of people that want to stone Him because He identified Himself as being God. Because why? He is God. Look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Ooh, that was all they could handle. You just said a no word. You can't say I am. You can't identify with God, Jesus. And they wanted to stone him. And again, nothing has changed in 2020. You can talk about God all day long, and most people won't get offended. A few atheists might. But when you start to talk about Jesus being God, now you've just offended a whole lot of religious people. And just like Jesus here, get ready to duck. Because, you know, hopefully they don't throw rocks at you. But that's what they were wanting to do. The context of what's happening in John 9 is this: people were wanting to kill Jesus. You know, if somebody wanted to kill you for standing for Christ, do you know probably you might want to lie low for a little while till the dust settled? Yet I see that Jesus doesn't lie low. Jesus doesn't just stop his ministry. No, verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man." He saw a man. He saw a man. Number 1, go where the people are. Doing the work of God involves people. We've got to get out where the people are. And by the way, unless you're just staying home 24/7, you are going to be around people. Number 2, gain spiritual vision. Ask God, gain spiritual vision. Notice, the Bible says, he saw. Verse 1, he saw. It means that he wasn't just walking through a group of people just to get to the next place, which is I'm guilty of so many times, that I am on a pace and I'm on a mission and I'm on a journey. I've got to go from here to there, and I'm just going to figure out every which way I can weave in and out of everybody, and I'm going to get there, do what I got to do, and then I'm going to weave my way back, and I'm going to be out and gone. Next job. Here we go. But you know what? On that journey, I think God probably had some people for me, and I'm just telling you, this is, you know, I've got to work on this. I've got to ask God for more spiritual vision. I wouldn't be so determined to get one thing done that I missed three people that God had put there for that time and that confrontation, not in a negative way, or that meeting. Missed it. Why? Because my spiritual vision wasn't what it should have been, and I couldn't do the work for God that he wanted me to do. And guess what happened? The window closed. I can't go back and re-step that step ever again. And I mean, who else would lead you to give a tract to somebody? Would that be the devil? I don't think so. It'd be the Lord. It'd be the Holy Ghost. Who else would lead you to someone who's in need? You say, we look at people and we eye them up by the outward appearance, but on the inside of that person. Now, Jesus knew this man was blind, but unless somebody's walking around, it's hard to tell that they're blind. And, you know, I mean, I'm trying to be kind here, but, you know, or unless, you know, if they're sitting in a chair, you may not know they're blind. Jesus knew, obviously, this man was blind. The point is this: people have needs that you and I are coming into contact with, but our window of opportunity with those people will come to a close. I love what Brother Josiah prayed last night on the men's prayer meeting. By the way, we'd love to have you men join us for the prayer meeting Saturday night, 7 o'clock. He prayed for a couple of co-workers. He's just stopped working, by the way. We need to pray for the Coates family. He's no longer working secularly, he's completely living by faith. That's a big step, by the way. And we need to pray about that and get behind him on that. But he prayed last night for a couple people, and I'm sorry I can't remember their names right now, but he prayed for somebody at work that he shared the gospel with and invited to come to church, and then he prayed for somebody else. They're supposed to come next Sunday to church. You see, our window of opportunity for the people that we work with, the people that come across our path, the family that we live with, etc., etc., this isn't just about in a big scheme of things. No, this is about every day is a window of opportunity. This isn't about making do of the 67 days that are left in 2020, but what about today? This window of opportunity today is going to end in about 12 hours. It's going to be Monday. And we have a new day. But what about today? So number one, go where the people are. Number two, ask God to help you with spiritual vision. Number three, go with the cure. Go with the cure. We're sending the Coates family. Hopefully we'll be able to support them financially. That's the plan, to add them to our missions program, to go to Quebec, to go to Quebec with the gospel of Jesus Christ that will cure anyone of their spiritual death that they deserve in a place called hell. We go with the cure. We don't go with physical cure necessarily, but yes, we can help people in that way, but we go with the gospel. Go where they are. Go with the spiritual vision. Go with the cure. Number four, go with purpose. What is the purpose? Jesus said it over and over again, that I may glorify thee. That I may glorify thee. And the Bible tells us in this text, verse number 7, he went his way and washed and came seeing. Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Well, how about you this morning? The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Have you been saved? How about an online group today? Do you know for sure if you died tonight, you would go to heaven? Your window of opportunity is open right now to be saved. But that window of opportunity will not stay open forever. I must work the works of Him that sent me. The night is coming when no man, while it is day, the night is coming when no man can work. I ask you, will you work? We've all been given an assignment. Window of opportunity is now. Someday, it closes. Work for the night is coming, when man works no more.